This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It is hour number three of the GBAC Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Rangers pregame coming up at 6:30 tonight. Thanks for making us part of your day. It's time now to get the very latest on college football. Wolchuk has a super segment.
Man, Oklahoma just received their largest athletic donation in school history. On Monday, Oklahoma Sooner Sports announcing Brian and Kim Kimry of Bartlesville, Oklahoma, donated $20 million to the University of Oklahoma athletic programs, with $10 million being earmarked just for football, the other $10 million for baseball. So congratulations to the Sooners.
Man, what do these universities need donations for anymore, though? Your tuition has gotten outrageous.
Yeah.
Every kid there is worth $20,000.
No kidding.
You talk about customers. I think this is the biggest racket in American industry right now.
Well, they've also donated $5 million going back to 2022 to the baseball team. They have put together $25.1 million of donations already to Oklahoma over the last couple of years. So pretty incredible. It'd be nice to just have that money to throw around at your alma mater, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the price of
the NIL
of sports.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to, you know, they did a great job of not only competing in the, you know, the Big Eight all those years and then the Big 12.
And now
then
to jump up to the SEC.
Now in the SEC, you're going to have to compete for players. I mean, it's not about the name recognition anymore or uniforms. It used to be a time where, you know, Oregon was able to get kids to come out there because it was always cool. We had Knight, but what's Phil Knight doing? Phil Knight's saying, yeah, hey, I'm backing up to truck. We need players.
He went all in.
Yeah, we need money. It's not just about the facility. These kids will come. Yeah, I'll come visit you, but you got to give me $5,000 to show up.
Yeah.
And if you don't have some high-end type of thing with my uniform and me doing some, and
recruiting visit, absolutely.
Yeah, the recruiting visit has turned into, okay, how can I promote the kid?
Let's stack up the Lamborghinis. Let's get pictures of him with the Lambos.
It's important for these kids to have something for their social pages and their brands.
Absolutely.
And if you don't have a big time production unit, you know, bringing this content, these universities do these elaborate deals for these players, and these players don't even show up. They might spend hours and hours of time building these elaborate sets and videos and content, and the player doesn't even go there. So now the man, the women hour, all these hours spent in recruiting, if you don't have that and if you don't have the money, you're not getting any of these kids. I don't care how damn good looking your uniforms are. You know, kids just aren't doing it anymore. Mom and dads are going to the mom and dads are talking to the head coach, and he's like, you know, well, how much will you pay my kid? You know, the kid's not even around. And well, how much are you going to give my kid? You know, that's the conversation. That's why Nick Saban is like,
I'm done with this.
I can't do this anymore. I used to be able to recruit players because I could promise them that I could maybe get them in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nowadays, it's like immediately a mom is asking me, and hey, she's had a son. And she's had to work four jobs all her life.
Sure.
And now she has a son that can get, you know, $500,000 to $1 million playing football. It's a no-brainer. I don't blame her. I do not blame these parents for stepping in there and saying, how much will you give my kid? It used to be, hey, we'll give them an education. We'll take care of your kids. We'll see if we can get them to the NFL. That's not the case, because they're learning a lot of these kids aren't going to the NFL. So you better make your $2 to $4 million
absolutely
now, because you're not going to make it in the NFL.
The veil over it has been lifted, and now the players
need your money
are more informed than ever. Yeah. I don't think they need your money. They do.
The TV
deals are insane. They have so much money, and it's amazing to me. If I was a donor, and now I don't have a 4-year university that I grew up as a big fan of or went to, I understand the bond between the college and the fan is probably stronger, and they benefit from that. But if I was a big donor, I'd be like, screw you. Quit wasting the money. Look at your tuition. Look at your TV deals. You guys, if you need more money, you need to look into the administration and all of the pork that is sitting in there with guys sitting around on salaries. Now it's to the point that, you know, a university's college soccer team has a staff of 80 people that are traveling with unlimited budgets. They are blowing money left and right.
Okay.
And now they're looking at their donors like, oh, we need more money or we can't get players. I would say screw you. You know, maybe if you have billions, 20 million is nothing. But you got to be kidding me with how they have built this system that has enriched them in so many ways. And then they're just walking around with their hand out. You know, you talk about the players having their hand out. It's the universities that are the greediest entity here by far.
That's 100% fact. I mean, let's go ahead and, you still owe X amount in your student loans. But let me send that mail to you. Hey, go ahead and donate. You want to donate to the Alumni Foundation? Yeah. No, I still haven't paid off trying to get my education from you because it's so damn expensive.
Yeah, I think that to me, though, the reason why they need your donations is because, you know, maybe there is some shortcomings. Maybe, the football program, if you had a really good football program, it helped all the other scholarship, you know, the men's
the
and
other
women's,
sports.
The other sports.
That's still the case.
And so now when you get a $20 million donation and 10 of it goes to the baseball program, that's... All right, now we're like, okay, it's not just all about football. We're trying to help our baseball program, women's gymnastics. I mean, hell, if they asked me to donate to LSU's women's gymnastics program, mm-hmm. I'd probably do it. They just won a national championship. Their women's basketball team won a national championship. These are sports that are funded, and you're right about how much tuition is, because I'm dealing with it right now with Bennett.
That's crazy.
I'm dealing with it with Bennett. And so I understand, and I'm very fortunate that way he's in state. You know, if he was out of state, it'd be even worse. But I think that these donations are a must just to help the women's soccer program, to help the women's swimming, to help men's track, to help gymnastics. You know, those are the things that, you know, that football is the big ticket item. Yes. But these other opportunities for these student athletes, I know LSU has 31 athletes at the Olympics this year. And they wouldn't have got there if we didn't donate to the athletic department. And that's my argument, that I get to see 31 student athletes compete in Paris for my school because of donations that we made. That's just my argument.
We don't have a good LSU story here, B. Javian Toviano, you know who that is?
No.
Well, he was going to be a big part of the secondary there at LSU. He's a true sophomore. Mm. He's now been arrested. He's accused of recording himself having sexy time with a woman without her consent, according to the arrest warrant.
Wowzers.
Told detectives she found video of the two on his iPad that were recorded through a clock with a built-in camera placed near the bed, according to the Times New Orleans Advocate. Mm. So... he's at just 19 years old, was one of the top players in the country for his recruiting class. Yeah. Brian Kelly did not offer a comment on the arrest, nor did his legal team, but he has been suspended from all team activities in accordance with the department's policies regarding
this. They've had a lot of problems because of the things that happened during the Coach O administration.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So there's really a no strike policy here. Anything to do with any type of misconduct when it comes to this is it's just, we're not going to give you a chance.
Yeah.
You move on.
We're moving on. And they're not, it's not like, hey, they're,
no,
they're,
they had,
they're
it was
lack
it,
of
it
talent
was,
there.
It was bad. It was really bad. Some of the things that happened to some of the staffers and students and stuff like that. Very, very, it wasn't good at all.
So KJ Jefferson, who used to be the quarterback at Arkansas, he's now transferred to UCF, so he's in the Big 12. He posted a picture of his locker, and with the on his locker, he's got a cutout of Shador Sanders. Hmm. And he said he was asked about this at the Big 12 media days, and it's a picture of Shador saying, "I'm the best quarterback in the country, not just the best quarterback in the Big 12 conference." So KJ said, I was just looking for some in-house motivation to make sure that I have a competitive edge and make sure that I'm going into each situation, each day, each practice, each film study, each OTA with a competitive edge and that chip on my shoulder. It just gives you that edge, that fire, to make sure that you don't take anything for granted. So he's a little bit bothered by Shador saying he's the best quarterback in the conference.
Yeah, I wonder if Gus Malzahn can help him there, because it took Bo Nix leaving that offense to go and be better somewhere else.
And KJ had a good year with Arkansas, and then I think injuries, like last year, was just such a bad year for their program with Sam Pittman.
They couldn't block.
It was tough.
He didn't just embrace the hog.
He was just he was the best player they had.
He was. And we'll see what he does there at UCF. This was interesting, the scouting report on Travis Hunter, sticking with Colorado. Now, this is our buddy Daniel Jeremiah who's been doing this.
Travis Hunter, yeah, is he going to be a receiver in the NFL or is he going to be a corner?
So he says for his offensive evaluation, viewed every target in 2023. For the defensive assignment, he took in the following three games, Colorado State, Stanford, Arizona. Says he's
that Stanford game was wild.
Explosive, smooth, instinctive on both sides of the ball. Offensively, he's got the versatility as a receiver to line up outside or inside. Utilizes creativity in his release off the line. Can get up to top speed in a hurry. Fluid runner, quickly getting in and out of his breaks with no wasted steps. Now, he's not as polished as a corner, but his movement skills and playmaking ability are still quite impressive. He's at his best in press coverage. Where he needs to improve on defense, there's a lot more that needs to be done there. Tackling, too inconsistent, needs to develop better eye discipline. He seems to think he's way more polished as a receiver.
I would agree to that.
Than he is as a defensive back.
Just TV watching games.
Yeah.
Just TV watching.
Offensively, says he reminds him of Garrett Wilson as a receiver. So that's the comp there. I mean, Garrett Wilson, top 10 pick, 10 overall, has become arguably a top 10 wide receiver in the league. Yeah, with the Jets. Mm-hmm. So right now, I think that's one scout that's saying probably better off going as a receiver than a defensive back. But we'll see what Travis Hunter decides.
Yeah, and he's 6'1". Isn't Garrett Wilson a little bit small, too? I mean, this dude, 6'1"?
6'1", that's
what he's
size.
What he's listed at? Yeah. Yeah, so either way, he's got decent size.
He does.
And I still am very excited to see what he ends up doing here. Does he want to go in as like a dual guy? Like, is he telling teams that draft him, I'm Shohei?
That'd be awesome. I mean, the last guy that I can recall, like Chris Gamble, Ohio State, did a little bit of that with the Carolina Panthers. But Travis Hunter is a rare athlete. It'd be fun to see what he decides to do.
Thank you, Wolchuk. We'll have everything that's been developing throughout your broadcast day coming up in 1 hour. It'll be the expressway. Did you see what happened with Jerry Jones in court today? That was quite a surprise. And apparently he'll be heading for Oxnard here real soon. No word updated on the press conference, still scheduled for Saturday, State of the Cowboys address with Jerry and Steve. Coming up next, though, it's Wolchuk's Top 10 at 420. What's cooking today, my man?
Put out a Twitter poll for the Tolos to decide on a Tolo Tuesday. They went with best wide receivers of the 2010s. Who do you think was the best? That's next in the Nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Just got an update there on the Twitter X from David Moore, Cowboys beat reporter of record, I believe. The Eagle has landed was his update. Of course, it landed in Los Angeles. Well, they will now board a bus and head up to Oxnard, California, as they have done for the last couple of years. Segment of the Nation here brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for your free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com.
Used to be a time I used to fly into that naval base.
Yeah.
Boy, it was so much more convenient.
Apparently, they got a new admiral that doesn't like the Cowboys.
No, thank you. You can't land here.
She nixed it.
I think it was a lady commander.
No more Cowboys.
Yeah. And I think it says Port Hueneme. Is that how you say it?
Hueneme. Yeah.
Hueneme.
Yeah, Port Hueneme. Something
and like that. So it was the base there. And man, it used to be so convenient just like, because it was only like about a 20 minute drive.
Yeah.
And now, but they do. And I thought California had a law about police escorts, but the Cowboys get one, and it's wild to ride on those buses with the police escort, the CHIPS, California Highway Patrol, and they're stopping traffic, and there's so much traffic out there. I mean, they're just speeding by you, blocking exits and stuff, and you get out of the city and they get you there. But it's unfortunate that they don't get to go to the naval base anymore.
It can be an adventure to get up there from LA.
Yeah,
you know, could be an hour, could be 2.5 hours, and that's on a Saturday morning or middle of the night.
That's why I think they flew in the time that they did. So it's about 2:30 there. So maybe you're not going to get it, that traffic.
It is time now for the top 10 at 420. Here's your host, Zach Wolchuk, the Wooly Bully.
Thank you very much, General. This is a crazy stat. We're going to get to the top 10 NFL wide receivers of the 2010s. My goodness, the names on this are outstanding. Who was your favorite receiver of the 2010s? I wonder if you guys could guess the top 10. But here's a stat for you.
Miles Austin.
That's a hell of a name. Former running back Matt Forte.
Tulane, Chicago Bears.
Yes. Has the second most receptions in a season in Bears history.
Yeah.
That's right.
He piled them up.
Franchise has been around 105 years, and a running back has the second most catches.
They don't have a quarterback that can throw the ball either.
No 4,000-yard passers. Yeah. Yeah.
No, maybe this year you get Caleb Williams as your first one.
You got to go like way, way, way back to find whoever their leading all-time receiver is.
Yeah, it's like the 80s.
At least.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's way, way, way back?
It's way, way, way back. And now it is, right?
Wait.
Was that 40 years ago now? Depending on which 80s year. All right, top 10 receivers of the 2010s.
Antonio Brown for 500.
Antonio Brown?
Not got them one. Dirty birds, call me Julio.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Julio.
Julio's one. Three on the list.
Larry Fitzgerald?
AB is four on the list.
Julio's better than Antonio Brown, huh?
Calvin Johnson?
No Larry Fitzgerald?
Larry Fitzgerald, number two.
Okay.
Calvin will be one.
Calvin is one.
Yep. Calvin Megatron. One.
And that's hard to
argue. This is the 2010s, right?
Yeah, just the 2010s, 2010 to 2019.
Mm-hmm. Chad Johnson on there?
Ocho Cinco, not in the top 10
he was
of
more
this list.
2000s,
probably
I guess.
Prior to the 2010s.
Andre Johnson.
What about TJ Houshmandzadeh?
TJ Houshmandzadeh, who's your daddy?
I traded for him.
He's not in the top 10. Yeah, what was the deal that you were going to trade for? Like, did they get that far, like compensation?
No, they figured out who we were trying. I mean, God, who we were trying to. We were trying to move on from a tight end from Kentucky. I forgot my guy's name. But anyway, the Bengals, like, once I was too anxious. You know, I was like, yeah, do you want us to send the papers in or are you going to send them?
Yeah.
And they went, yeah, we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And I literally closed the door of my office and just put my head on my desk. And I'm like, what an idiot.
Got to work on that poker face.
Got to work on the poker face. I didn't get it done.
Like
that
used car salesman trying to sell you a Chrysler LeBaron.
Yeah.
Hey, we still have it on the lot here, man. You still interested?
Jim Lippincott for the Bengals and I were dealing with each other.
Lippincott.
Shout out to the Lippincott.
That is an outstanding name.
He, you know what? If you thought what a Jim Lippincott looks like, he looks like Jim Lippincott. Mm. You think of like
overweight
love
the Lippincott.
Yes.
Yeah. All the Lippincott family.
You vacation with the Lippincotts every year.
Golly.
Every summer.
Us and the Lippincotts, we go hand in hand.
Hey, A.J. Green, give me Tyreek Hill, give me Mike Evans, give me Dez Bryant. Can any one of those crack this list?
I like the Mike Evans. That's a good pull.
Mike Evans, number 8.
Nice.
How about Randy Moss?
Randy was an honorable mention on here for the work he did in the 2010s.
Did you already say that?
In 19.
No. Sorry, that wasn't peak.
It wasn't prime
peak
Randy. But I mean, still made it into the top 20 on here.
I mean, really? For his work with the Titans or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, he's still getting...
He had a cup of coffee with the Titans?
Andre Johnson, yes, is number 10 on here. Okay. Dez is number 9.
Okay. No A.J. Green, no Tyreek Hill?
A.J. Green, 11.
Oof. Clearly a Jordy Nelson, though, right?
Ooh,
good call. Jordy.
Jordy.
Trying to think of that guy we tried to trade
for. Jordy's honorable
mention. I've given
mention.
Up on this game.
Jordy's honorable?
Jordy's at 2010. You get 22 on here. Tyreek Hill was on here as well. He's number 6.
OBJ?
OBJ is an honorable mention.
Oh, yeah. DeAndre Hopkins got to be on there.
Ooh. Nuke Hopkins. DeAndre is number 5. So you've got the top 5. Calvin Johnson's number 1.
Yeah.
Larry Fitz, number 2.
Yeah.
Julio Jones is number 3. Antonio Brown, number 4. DeAndre Hopkins is 5. Tyreek Hill is 6. You're missing number 7. Mike Evans at 8, Dez Bryant at 9, Andre Johnson 10, A.J. Green 11,
these are all real wide receivers, right? None of this tight end.
None
crossover.
Of them are tight ends. No. Did you guess Reggie Wayne earlier? He's at 14 on here.
No, I didn't say
I
Reggie
I was going to say him.
Odell Beckham Jr. is at 15, by the way.
How about the other 88? Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius
was an honorable mention. Did not make the top 10. I thought Demaryius Thomas was a little low. He's at 17 on here because he was pretty damn brilliant.
Rest in paradise.
He really was.
Brandon Marshall?
B-Marsh.
My arch nemesis?
Number 12. Just missed the top 10.
Here we go. It's Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas.
5 yards at a time, Michael Thomas.
2016 is when he started on here, but no, he's an honorable mention as well.
How? So how many are we missing?
Just one. Wes Welker's honorable mention.
DeSean Jackson.
T.Y. Hilton. Ooh, DeSean Jackson's a good guess.
The text just guessed Julian Edelman.
Comes in at 18.
Ooh, shout out Jules.
I love the Julian Edelman guess. Julian Edelman comes in at 21 on this list of the best receivers of the 2010s. It's not a Patriot. Good pull with Roddy White, but it's not Roddy White either when it comes to this.
Okay.
There is somebody on the text that I think has gotten this.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Randall Cobb.
Not Randall Cobb.
It's not Marvin Harrison.
It's not Marvin.
Can't be Marvin.
I could give you a hint, but it's going to give it away.
No, don't give us a give it away hint. We don't want to. Keenan Allen?
Keenan's an honorable mention. Keenan's a good pull. 16 for Keenan Allen. You've almost got the entire top 20 here.
Adam Thielen?
Huh. No, Adam Thielen was not that good in the 2010s. I think there's one other receiver you're missing in the top 20 at 13 here. I don't know that you've said his name. Veteran guy. Also, I would have thought of him more in the 2000s, but he was good in the 2010s. Had a good second career with another team.
Wide receiver with a second career, but he's not in the top 10, though.
No, he's just
we're
13.
Only worried about the top 10. Somebody texted in Greg Jennings.
Not Greg Jennings. Greg Jennings is a good guess, though.
Steve Smith?
Steve Smith is the 13 wide receiver.
Ah,
now.
James Whalen. That's who I was trying to trade.
Ooh, Josh Gordon.
Oh, Josh Gordon would have been on
Flash
here.
Gordon.
If it weren't for freaking weed, man, Josh Gordon would have been able to be on here.
Davante Adams?
Did you just say Davante Adams?
Davante Adams.
Final answer?
Of the Las Vegas Raiders. Of the Raiders? Las Vegas.
Correctamundo! Davante Adams at number 7 is correct. So out of this top 10, Andre at 10. Dez Bryant at number 9. Mike Evans at 8. Davante Adams at 7. Tyreek Hill at 6. Nuke Hopkins at 5. Antonio Brown at 4. Julio Jones at 3.
God, we were bad.
Larry Fitzgerald at 2. And Calvin Johnson at 1.
Davante Adams didn't even have a 1,000-yard season until 2018. Get that out of here.
Here he is. He's
he was
sitting,
a 18,
he's sitting here
19,
number 7.
18 and 19. He's
just
getting
dominant.
So they were so impressive.
19 wasn't even a 1,000.
Wow.
Must have got hurt.
I demand a recount then.
He comes in at number 7.
Tough job, though.
Here.
I mean, there's so many great players.
I mean, it is an embarrassment of riches. Like, the amount of receivers we're talking here. I mean, I think A.J. Green probably should have been in here with that nugget. I think, absolutely, I'm swapping out A.J. Green for Davante Adams. A.J. Green's numbers in the 2010s had to have been really, really good.
Yeah, he had a good run with Andy Dalton.
He did. I mean, he was putting it up there with average Joe receivers. DeSean Jackson, I mean, do you think he's got a case to be in the 20? I mean, DeSean Jackson's stats pretty good. T.O., I think more of the 2000s receiver.
Yes, yes.
Not in the 2010s. We did get a text about him. But, I mean, I think if you're going to swap somebody out, I'm taking out Davante Adams. I'm putting in A.J. Green. I think Dez, I mean, at number 9, do you think he's a little low on here?
I think it's fair, you know.
Just to have him in the top 10 at least.
Yeah, he's definitely top 10, but I mean, I'd probably take all the guys they have ahead of him
over Dez.
I think anybody.
I mean, honestly, we talked about Mike Evans and the Hall of Fame stuff. Like, Mike Evans' career, it is incredible what he's done. 1,000 yards every single
game. I'm sorry, you guys did say Julian Edelman, right?
Yeah, Julian Edelman was 22 on here.
Okay, because I just looked him up. I was just curious. He's had 100 in his career. He had 100 third all time for receptions in playoffs.
Yeah.
118.
He is an all-time great playoff performer.
So
I'll never forget the catch he had against the Falcons.
Oh, my gosh. Diving, just like barely getting his fingertips underneath the football to be able to secure that.
Hines Ward, too.
Dez really only had 3 great seasons and then one dang good one. It's just incredible how things slowed down, you know, maybe post-Tony injuries.
Yeah, I mean, the injuries started to mount up. Like, that 2014 season, though, my God. It was, he looked like the best receiver on the planet.
Yeah,
he was so special in 2014. But yeah,
it was an amazing time to cover.
The injury started to, he had the Liz Frank with the foot.
Yeah.
I think there was a finger injury as well.
Said he'd cut it off if he had to play in a playoff
game.
Yeah,
things started to really kind of mount.
The finger or the toe?
Finger.
He was balling out with that broken hand.
Have you ever had a 9-finger wide receiver?
Oof, that's a good question.
I don't think so.
It's playing with a huge disadvantage, you would think.
We did.
There was a pitcher, Three Fingers Brown. Catcher.
Three Fingers Brown?
Yeah, it was a guy's nickname. Mordecai Three Fingers Brown.
Was Terrence Williams a 9-finger guy?
Who?
He was a really good body catcher.
He was a body catcher, bad.
It might have been.
No?
Looked like about 5 fingers sometimes. Well, thank you, Will Chuck.
Seattle
the top 10 at 420 every afternoon. Yes, 4th and 15.
That's crazy. I think he was throwing the ball to Witten. He was, and like Terrence Williams just showed up out of nowhere and caught that.
Toe tap those things down. Yeah.
Williams is apparently out there in Colleyville running routes for Trey Lance this offseason. I saw that in the Archer report.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
W.T. White grad.
We got an edition of Football's Finest coming up at 5 o'clock. Little sports hodgepodge is next. Chief, where are you taking it?
After a long 4-year hiatus, this sportsman is back next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy. This time next week, we'll be in Oxnard tomorrow night. So, I mean, this time Thursday, we'll be live on the tennis courts broadcasting. And we are going to deliver 3 live mics throughout training camp, brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Go to mensteeclinic.com. But this is like the last 30 minutes of practice where we're all dispersed across the practice field and, you know, talking about our observations and just kind of hosting the show. You'll hear the sounds of camp coming right through our microphones. It's an incredible time, I think, to, you know, to be that close to the team and be able to share those reports with you. It's a whole lot of fun. And we fly out tomorrow night after the show. So thanks to all of our sponsors. You'll hear more about them throughout the next couple of weeks. Time now for a sports hodgepodge, and here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Speaking of a good time, Saturday, August 10th, Hurtado Barbecue meets 2024 Fan Bowl. RJ Choppy is the reigning champion. We look forward to seeing you out there. You can sign up at 105throughthefan.com/events. But even if you're not going to play in the paper football tournament, you can still show up and party, hang out with us, have the best barbecue in the land. And
eat a bunch of food.
Got a nice haters bar over there as well. Yeah. We're going to have the tent, the AC. It's going to be a great time. August 10th, looking forward to seeing all the Tolos out there. Now, did you guys see who made his way back into sports?
Huh. Tell us about it.
He's back. I saw this news over the weekend. I didn't know if you guys opened the show with it yesterday or not. Headline top stories, sports stories of the day.
We might have.
You think we're good at our job?
Did you listen yesterday? We were our show.
I did. I'll tell you what. You guys freaking dominated the Chris Young interview.
Did you listen to the majority of the show or just the Chris Young?
It was the Chris Young, and then there was something else I heard. But it was full
on
It was full on checkout dad day.
It wasn't like Best of the Weekend.
Best of the Weekend, Tom Brenneman returns.
I don't know.
And then you did your due diligence by reliving the greatest apology in sports history.
I sure did. But you know what? It's so good. I think we should relive it again.
Yeah, no, dude. If you guys played it yesterday, it's all good. I'm glad you guys did that.
We heard you in there working hard on it pre-show, kind of making sure.
That's what I heard. I did hear. I heard the tail end of Best of the Weekend, so I missed your Brenneman's back.
It was
news.
In the beginning. I went through the entire. It was incredible. The timeline with him coming back, and then Biden announces he is not going to be running for president anymore, and then Nick Castellanos hits a home run. It was just
incredible,
dude. You can't do it any better than Nick.
Now to peel back the curtain a little bit more, I don't want to cause any disruptions in the nosebleed brotherhood.
Yes,
you know it's inspiring. But maybe before the show, he heard you editing that Tom Brenneman clip.
Oh, and he didn't come in there to break my heart. He didn't want to be the messenger. He waited for air.
I said, hey, should I go tell him? Ryan was like, yeah, you should probably go tell him. I was like, are you sure we should go tell him? Maybe we should just bust his balls when he plays this on air because he didn't listen to the show yesterday. Brian liked any excuse to bust your balls, as do I.
Everyone on their off day just huddles around the radio and just soaks it all in. You know how much FOMO I have when I'm not with you guys? You know, think I can bear to listen to you guys have so much fun together?
Yeah. Dude, it's very likely yesterday I did everything you did Friday.
At points, when I'm listening to the show and I'm not here, I'm like, gosh, I wish Broadus was interrupting me right now.
I do too.
You know? Like, you just have that.
Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm like, Brian, what'd you say?
I thought about calling you and interrupting you. You know, that kind of sucks.
Okay, well, then tell me this. Mm-hmm. Did you talk about the story about the New Jersey man who was arrested after ripping a seagull's head off when it tried to swipe fries from his daughter? Did you tell that story, Walchuck? Was that part of Best of the Weekend?
We started the entire show with that.
We did.
That was top story of the day.
Like we talked about hunting and how you kill dove.
I bet this is what Eric's doing right now.
Arrested for that? I mean, that's badass. I want to shake this guy's hand. When when a seagull drops down on my fast food spot, which you can't encounter in California, I'm done. You know, my hands are up. You know, I might hopefully grab my burger, but I'm not thinking about striking.
You just acquiesce to the seagull?
I do.
You just feel like you're at his house, so if he wants to steal your food, then so be it. Your fries are his fries.
That beak is intimidating, dude.
Oh, yeah. No, they'll hurt you.
Oh, it is.
They'll hurt you. And maybe this dude, Frank Ziegler, 29 years old of Cape May, maybe he had experience.
Cape May.
With some of these, Cape May is where he is.
More of a Cape Cod guy.
But apparently sitting there, he's trying to enjoy a nice little afternoon on the pier with his lovely daughter.
Good to see that.
She's consuming French fries as any great American would, not named Lucius Alexander.
Right now, don't you? This is great.
You hear what's going on with
Lucius? Yeah, this is the seagulls.
Yeah, flock of seagulls.
Oh,
my man had a hairstyle like this.
My man says the seagulls, bro.
Yeah, this is the seagulls.
The flock of seagulls.
Yeah, man, this is Jodeci, bro.
I love that guy.
Oh, it's not flock of seagulls?
Jodeci is one of my favorite.
Flock of seagulls.
And this is me running so far away from the seagull at the same time. He's getting too
and
one.
I ran so far away.
What a cut this is, though. And when Vice City came out and this was the trailer for it and the dude's running down the streets of Miami, I was hooked.
Oh, welcome, Miami.
Yeah, apparently the seagull flies down, tries to steal the French fries. This dude grabs the bird, rips his freaking head off, just decapitates this bird, and then he allegedly now that would be even more badass.
I'm just telling you
if
right
he bit
now.
The bird's head off.
Let me tell you what he should have done. He should have done this with the way you've traumatized your daughters with wildlife. Take that bird and rub the blood on his on her face.
There you go.
Eye black.
Yeah, you got the blood. Rip the bird's head off and go for the first kill. Put the blood on the face.
Like straight out of a scene from The Boys, spitting out feathers.
Go to your concert with Black Sabbath later on.
Oh, that's
little Ozzy
yeah,
for you.
Absolutely.
That was bats. He preferred the bats.
Biting the head off the seagull is probably the only way this guy comes out of here looking more badass. I think just ripping the seagull's head off was pretty amazing, but. He then asked, so he now has body in right hand, head in left hand, and he's looking around and he asked the boardwalk workers for a trash bag so he could dispose of the seagulls.
Sounds like a proper remains. Ranch hand. You know, I think this is farm guy who came into town with his daughter for a nice little afternoon.
This guy is not from New Jersey. This is a
no. He's a Cape. Whatever
Cape
the hell
May.
I said.
We'll
Cape
May.
Take him down here in Texas.
Man, he is a hunter. This is a guy in the field. He's field dressing birds. Is what he's doing.
Yeah. He knows his way around a dove. Yeah.
But a true alpha knows when it's time to concede, and he didn't do that.
I wish he had a pack of ketchup in his other hand.
the North Wildwood cop showed up, and Ziegler quickly got quote irate and uncooperative with the officers, and then he was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. He was also hit with a third-degree animal cruelty charge.
Yeah.
So
for defending his food.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. His daughter's food.
His damn daughter.
You know what I mean?
You got to be careful some of these states you're venturing into.
Yeah.
You can't even protect your meal against a rabid seagull.
I can't even rip a bird apart these days. I thought this was America.
I would have said it to the cop, like, listen, if he was eating your donuts, you would have done the same thing.
That's some good last
he
words.
He said mace. Yeah.
Oh, what's that? You're resisting?
Yeah. Stop resisting, sir.
Some of these big guys, they need a little extra jolt.
Listen here, officer. If he's eating your donuts, you're doing the same damn thing.
That's about the time that his hand goes on your bald head and slams you into the car and shuts the door.
One of my first training camps in Oxnard, actually, I was sitting there with CA, and he got up to take a phone call. I think he was doing a hit with another show.
Oh, what?
Like a bump? Seagull legit stole his double-double. Stole his burger right there from In-N-Out and Oxnard.
No way.
And you let it happen, didn't you?
I did. Like I told you, I got up and I was speaking from experience. And I did go into In-N-Out and say, can I get a replacement burger? And they said, why? I said, a seagull just stole it. And they looked at me like I was crazy. Yeah. But they did give me a burger.
They did?
Yeah.
Good
customer service. Shout out to In-N-Out.
Yeah. But I wonder how many people walk in there and are like, yeah, seagull got my burger.
Okay,
seagulls.
I might actually pull that.
Let's try it out. Let's do it.
Okay, Wolchuk, you're at Chick-fil-A. Somebody comes in, they say that, hey, they stole my chicken. Are you
Who's
giving
they?
Him a sandwich?
Is it a seagull?
No, it's Dawson. Dawson walks in. You
in
give
fairness,
him a sandwich?
At Chick-fil-A, yeah, we probably would.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Customer's always right.
Yeah.
Customer is always right.
Especially this if we have a bunch of seagulls in the area. I mean, it's an issue.
I have good and bad news here. The bad news is that the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile has rolled over and wrecked in Illinois.
What? Are the Vita schnitzels okay?
The good news is no schnitzels nor injuries have been reported.
But what about the Venus?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever seen it?
Live and in person?
Yes. Yeah. I've driven by it several times.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
I mean, it's apparently like 25 feet long.
Oh, yeah. It is a long Vina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do it in two bites.
Their whole point is really just to, spread the joy and love for Oscar Mayer wieners.
For those Venus.
And so now this thing is toppled over, and now I don't know when it's going to get back up and running. I don't know the details, but the photos of just an upside down wiener on the highways of Illinois is tough
to
see.
Seems unstable, you know, the length of that thing.
Yeah, trying to navigate a 23 footer. Seems has like to be
off-center
daunting. You might need multiple steering wheels in that thing to get a little bit of help. I don't know. I don't know what type of certifications you have to drive the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile, but perhaps we're dealing with a rookie situation. But the good news is no injuries have been reported, so all is well on that front.
Maybe a wind gust got me, huh? Wind gust?
I don't think the wind is going to knock over a wiener that size.
Have you seen it, though? It's got like a big fin. That wiener in the bun's big. Kind of knock you over. Like the wind gust gets you.
Have you seen this thing in person?
Yes.
Have you been inside the Wienermobile?
No.
You haven't been inside the Vina?
No, I haven't. I almost got a ride in the Goodyear blimp, though, one time. That was pretty cool. Got invited to do that.
Almost?
I got invited, and you know me, I'm scared of heights.
So you said no. Oh, you turned down the blimp.
I did. I'd like, hey, well, you can take you up. And I'm like, hey, I made up every excuse but not to go in that thing.
But you'd go into the Vina.
I don't blame you.
I would.
972 says, my sister's ex worked on the Wienermobile for a couple of years. That's crazy. Yeah, I hope it wasn't your sister's ex that was driving that thing, because it's toppled over right now.
Do you get fired for doing that?
How does that thing even flip over?
Yeah, I think that's a
wind gust.
Too fast.
You wrecked the Wienermobile one time, you're done, dude. Yeah, that's it.
You think so?
That's a one-strike
violation.
Does it
have a proper roll cage?
No, I don't believe so. They have not caged this wiener, and maybe they'll consider doing that.
Yeah. I don't think that's a Vina you can cage.
You got relish all around you to protect
it. Like the 254 says old people drive 45-foot motorhomes all over. It's no big deal. But those things are wide, you know?
Very wide.
Imagine that thing being narrow. Tipped over right and left.
Definitely not as long. Now, the 682 is alleging that was the mini Wienermobile.
Yeah, I was going to say, how could it flip over? Because don't the ends of it kind of point up?
That's what I thought. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, they have a mini Wienermobile?
It's kind of wide.
Maybe this one's the mini.
You're the one doing the micro version.
It doesn't say anything about this being. Read the headline. Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. It doesn't say Oscar Mayer micro Wienermobile.
Micro Wiener.
It's just mini. Okay, we don't have to go full on micro.
What are you being sensitive for?
Couple inches. You don't need to shame the automobile.
Yeah, what are you doing over there?
Like, people
I hear they like that, by the way.
You know, you're right. I'm lashing out, and I need to apologize for that.
Yeah, you do. Right now.
I apologize to all micro wieners in existence.
We appreciate that.
Including Broaddus's.
Okay, let's shift back to some football. There's 23 training camps that have already checked in or in the process of preparing for the football season. What do we got next, Chief?
We're going to get you set for camp. Mike is telling you the worst part about going to Oxnard. I might co-sign it next in the nation.
Vina schnitzel.
Yeah, buddy. This time next week, we'll be in Oxnard tomorrow night. So, I mean, this time Thursday, we'll be live on the tennis courts broadcasting. And we are going to deliver three live mics throughout training camp, brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Go to mensteeclinic.com. But this is like the last 30 minutes of practice where we're all dispersed across the practice field and, you know, talking about our observations and just kind of hosting the show. You'll hear the sounds of camp coming right through our microphones. It's an incredible time, I think, to be that close to the team and be able to share those reports with you. It's a whole lot of fun. And we fly out tomorrow night after the show. So thanks to all of our sponsors. You'll hear more about them throughout the next couple of weeks. Time now for a sports hodgepodge, and here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Speaking of a good time, Saturday, August 10th, Hurtado Barbecue meets 2024 Fan Bowl. RJ Choppy is the reigning champion. We look forward to seeing you out there. You can sign up at 105thefan.com/events. But even if you're not going to play in the paper football tournament, you can still show up and party, hang out with us, have the best barbecue in the land. And
eat a bunch
of
food.
Got a nice haters bar over there as well. Yeah. We're going to have the tent, the AC. It's going to be a great time. August 10th, looking forward to seeing all the Tolos out there. Now, did you guys see who made his way back into sports?
Huh. Tell us about it.
He's back. I saw this news over the weekend. I didn't know if you guys opened the show with it yesterday or not. Headline top sports stories of the day.
We might have.
You think we're good at our job?
Did you listen yesterday? We were our show.
I'll tell you what. You guys freaking dominated the Chris Young interview.
Did you listen to the majority of the show or just the Chris Young?
It was the Chris Young, and then there was something else I heard. But it was full on.
Was it the Tom Brenneman part, right?
It was full on Checkout Dad Day.
It wasn't like Best of the Weekend.
Best of the Weekend, Tom Brenneman returns?
I don't know.
And then you did your due diligence by reliving the greatest apology in sports history?
I sure did. But you know what? It's so good, I think we should relive it again.
Yeah, no, well, dude, if you guys played it yesterday, yeah, it's all good. I'm glad you guys did that.
We heard you in there working hard on it pre-show, kind of making sure.
That's what I heard. I did hear. I heard the tail end of Best of the Weekend, so I missed your Brenneman's back.
It was
news.
In the beginning. I went through the entire. It was incredible. The timeline with him coming back, and then Biden announces he is not going to be running for president anymore, and then Nick Castellanos hits a home run.
It was just incredible,
You can't do it any better than Nick.
Now to peel back the curtain a little bit more, I don't want to cause any disruptions in the nosebleed brotherhood.
Yes,
you know it's inspiring. But maybe before the show, he heard you editing that Tom Brenneman clip.
Oh, and he didn't come in there to break my heart. He didn't want to be the messenger.
I leaned over
for air.
I said, hey, should I go tell him? Ryan was like, yeah, you should probably go tell him. I was like, are you sure we should go tell him? Maybe we should just bust his balls when he plays this on air because he didn't listen to the show yesterday. Brian liked any excuse to bust your balls, as do I.
Everyone on their off day just huddles around the radio and just soaks it all in. You know how much FOMO I have when I'm not with you guys? You know, think I can bear to listen to you guys have so much fun together?
Yeah. Dude, it's very likely yesterday I did everything you did Friday.
At points, when I'm listening to the show and I'm not here, I'm like, gosh, I wish Broadus was interrupting me right now.
I do too.
You know? Like, you just have that.
Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm like, Brian, what'd you say?
I thought about calling you and interrupting you. You know, that kind of stuff.
Okay, well, then tell me this. Mm. Did you talk about the story about the New Jersey man who was arrested after ripping a seagull's head off when it tried to swipe fries from his daughter? Did you tell that story, Walchuk? Was that part of Best of the Weekend?
We started the entire show with that.
We did.
That was top story of the day.
Yeah, we talked about hunting and how you killed dove.
I bet this is what Eric's doing right now.
Arrested for that? I mean, that's badass. I want to shake this guy's hand. When a seagull drops down on my fast food spot, which you can't encounter in California, I'm done. You know, my hands are up. You know, I might hopefully grab my burger, but I'm not thinking about striking.
You just acquiesce to the seagull?
I do.
You just feel like you're at his house, so if he wants to steal your food, then so be it. Your fries are his fries.
That beak is intimidating, dude.
Oh, yeah. No, they'll hurt you.
Oh, it is.
They'll hurt you. And maybe this dude, Frank Ziegler, 29 years old of Cape May, maybe he had experience.
Cape May.
With some of these, Cape May is where he is.
More of a Cape Cod guy.
But apparently sitting there, he's trying to enjoy a nice little afternoon on the pier with his lovely daughter.
Good to see that.
She's consuming French fries as any great American would, not named Lucius Alexander.
Right now, don't you?
This is great.
You hear what's going on with
Lucius? Yeah, this is the seagulls.
Yeah, flock of seagulls.
Oh,
my man had a hairstyle like this.
My man says the seagulls, bro.
Yeah, this is the seagulls.
The flock of seagulls.
Yeah, love. Man, this is Jodeci, bro.
I love that guy.
Oh, it's not flock of seagulls?
Jodeci is one of my favorite
flock of seagulls.
And this is me running so far away from the seagull at the same time. He's getting two
and
one.
I ran. I ran so far away.
What a cut this is, though. And when Vice City came out and this was the trailer for it and the dude's running down the streets of Miami, I was hooked.
Oh, welcome to Miami.
Yeah, apparently the seagull flies down, tries to steal the French fries. This dude grabs the bird, rips his freaking head off, just decapitates this bird, and then he allegedly now that would be even more badass.
I'm just telling you right now.
Bit the bird's head off.
Let me tell you what he should have done. You should have done this with the way you've traumatized your daughters with wildlife. Take that bird and rub the blood on her face.
There you go.
Eye black.
Yeah, you got the blood. Rip the bird's bird head blood. Off and go for the first kill. Put the blood on the
it's
face.
Like straight out of a season of The Boys,
spitting out feathers.
Go to your concert with Black Sabbath later on.
Oh, that's
a little Ozzy.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was bats. He preferred the bats.
Biting the head off the seagull is probably the only way this guy comes out of here looking more badass. I think just ripping the seagull's head off is pretty amazing, but. He then asked, so he now has body in right hand, head in left hand, and he's looking around and he asked the boardwalk workers for a trash bag so he could dispose of the seagulls.
Sounds like a proper remains. Ranch hand. You know, I think this is farm guy who came into town with his daughter for a nice little afternoon.
This guy is not from New Jersey. This is a.
No, he's a Cape. Whatever Cape the hell May. I said.
We'll Cape May. Take him down here in Texas.
Man, he is a hunter. This is a guy in the field. He's field dressing birds. Is what he's doing.
Yeah. He knows his way around a dove. Yeah.
But a true alpha knows when it's time to concede, and he didn't do that.
I wish he had a pack of ketchup in his other hand.
the North Wildwood cop showed up, and Ziegler quickly got quote irate and uncooperative with the officers, and then he was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. He was also hit with a third-degree animal cruelty charge.
Yeah.
So
for defending his food.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. His daughter's food.
His damn daughter.
You know what I mean?
You got to be careful some of these states you're venturing into.
Yeah.
You can't even protect your meal against a rabid seagull.
I can't even rip a bird apart these days. I thought this was America.
I would have said it to the cop, like, listen, if he was eating your donuts, you would have done the same thing.
That's some good last words.
He would have said mace.
Oh, what's that? You're resisting?
Yeah.
Stop resisting, sir.
Some of these big guys, they need a little extra jolt.
Listen here, officer. If he's eating your donuts, you're doing the same damn thing.
That's about the time that his hand goes on your bald head and slams you into the car and shuts the door.
One of my first training camps in Oxnard, actually, I was sitting there with CA, and he got up to take a phone call. I think he was doing a hit with another show.
Oh, what?
Like a bump? Siegel legit stole his double-double. Stole his burger right there from In-N-Out in Oxnard.
No way.
And you let it happen, didn't you?
I did. Like I told you, I got up and I was speaking from experience. And I did go into In-N-Out and say, can I get a replacement burger? And they said, why? I said, a seagull just stole it. And they looked at me like I was crazy. Yeah. But they did give me a burger.
They did?
Yeah.
Good.
Good customer service. Shout out to In-N-Out.
Yeah. But I wonder how many people walk in there and are like, yeah, Seagull got my burger.
Okay,
Seagulls.
I might actually pull that.
Let's try it out. Let's do it.
Okay, Woolchuck, you're at Chick-fil-A. Somebody comes in, they say that, hey, they stole my chicken. Are you
Who's
giving
they?
Her a sandwich?
Is it a seagull?
No, it's Dawson. Dawson walks in. You giving her a sandwich?
At Chick-fil-A, yeah, we probably would.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Customer's always right.
Yeah.
Customer is always right.
Especially
this
if we have a bunch of seagulls in the area. I mean, it's an issue.
I have good and bad news here. The bad news is that the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile has rolled over and wrecked in Illinois.
What? Are the Wiener Schnitzels okay?
The good news is no schnitzels nor injuries have been reported.
But what about the Venus?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever seen it?
Live and in person?
Yes. Yeah. I've driven by it several times.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
I mean, it's apparently like 25 feet
it's
long.
Huge.
Oh, yeah. It is a long vena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do it in two bites.
Their whole point is really just to, spread the joy and love for Oscar Mayer Wieners.
For those venas.
And so now this thing is toppled over, and and now I don't know when it's going to get back up and running. I don't know the details, but the photos of just an upside down wiener on the highways of Illinois is... It's tough
Seems
to see.
Seems unstable, you know, the length of that thing.
Yeah, trying to navigate a 23-footer
off-center.
Daunting. You might need multiple steering wheels in that thing to get a little bit of help. I don't know. I don't know what type of certifications you have to drive the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile, but perhaps we're dealing with a rookie situation. But the good news is no injuries have been reported, so all is well on that front.
Maybe a wind gust got me, huh? Wind gust.
I don't think the wind is going to knock over a wiener that size.
Have you seen it though? It's got like a big fin. That wiener in the bun's big, kind of knock you over, like the wind gust gets you.
Have you seen this thing in person?
Yes.
Have you been inside the Wiener Mobile?
No.
You haven't been inside the Vena?
No, I haven't. I almost got a ride in the Goodyear blimp though one time. That was pretty cool. Got invited to do that.
Almost.
I got invited and you know me, I'm scared of heights.
So you said no.
Oh,
you
yeah,
turned
that's
down
a
the
no.
blimp.
That's a hard no.
I'd like to like, hey, well, you can take you up, and I'm like, hey, I made up every excuse but not to go in that thing.
But you'd go into the Vena.
I don't blame you.
I would.
972 says my sister's ex worked on the Wiener Mobile for a couple of years. That's crazy. Yeah, I hope it wasn't your sister's ex that was driving that thing because it's toppled over right now.
You get fired for doing that.
How does that thing even flip over?
Yeah, I think that's a
wind gust.
Too fast.
You wrecked the Wiener Mobile one time. You're done, ski dude.
Yeah,
that's it.
Done. You think so?
That's a one strike.
Does
violation.
Does it have a proper roll cage?
No, I don't believe so. They have not caged this wiener, and maybe they'll consider doing that.
Yeah. I don't think that's a vena you can cage.
You got relish all around you to protect
it. Like the 254 says old people drive 45-foot motorhomes all over. It's no big deal. But those things are wide, you know?
Very wide.
Imagine that thing being narrow. You're
not as
tipped over right and left.
Definitely not as long. Now, the 682 is alleging that this was the mini Wiener Mobile.
Yeah, I was going to say, how could it flip over? Because don't the ends of it kind of point up?
That's what I thought. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, they have a mini Wiener Mobile?
It's kind of wild.
Maybe this one's the mini.
You're
this
the
is
one
like
doing
the micro
the story.
Version? It doesn't say anything about this being the read the headline. Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. It doesn't say Oscar Mayer Micro Wienermobile.
Micro Wiener.
It's just mini. Okay, we don't have to go full on micro.
What are you being sensitive for?
Couple inches. You don't need to shame the automobile.
Yeah, what are you doing over there?
Like, people
I hear they like that, by the way.
You know, you're right. I'm lashing out and I need to apologize.
Yeah,
for that.
You do. Right now.
I apologize to all micro wieners in existence.
We appreciate that.
Including Broaddus's.
Okay, let's shift back to some football. There's 23 training camps that have already checked in or in the process of preparing for the football season. What do we got next, Chief?
We're going to get you set for camp. Mike is telling you the worst part about going to Oxnard. I might co-sign it next in the nation.
Venus Schnitzel.